Well, this morning we're in Psalm 84. Psalm 84, if you have your Bible or your app, you can open to Psalm 84. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, but I will have other translations that I'll be referencing and reading. But Psalm 84 is where we are this morning. And it's one of those psalms where I'm not going to read the entire psalm. We've had sermons in the past on the entire psalm, or if you've read or heard them. But this psalm is all about, when you read Psalm 84, it's all about that desire, that wanting, that need for God's presence and to be in God's presence and to reap the benefits of that, if you will. It's a powerful psalm, so if you have a chance, you can read those verses. It's not very long. And you can read that and check that out. But I want to focus on verses 5 to 8 this morning. 5 to 8. It's Mother's Day, and I wanted to kind of encourage and challenge and leave this with you mothers, but really, it's for all of us. It works and applies for all of us, these verses here in Psalm 84, verses 5 to 8. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose hearts are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. And this is a psalm, again, that was written, and it was in reference to this pilgrimage that was made. When they would go three times a year, they would go up to Jerusalem for the required pilgrimage to go and gather and assemble as God's people at the temple and do the worship and the sacrifices and the assembly of all the nation together that was commanded through Moses in the law that God had given to him. And so this is a picture of that. As people are traveling from all over in that region and they're going to Jerusalem. They're going to where the temple is. And verse 5 says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Let's start with the word blessed this morning. Blessed. When you think of blessed, I know we all can understand in our minds and our hearts, but let me just tell you that what you already know, that it means that you're favored by God if you're blessed, that you're full of joy, and actually that there's spiritual and a wholeness in you. There's a well-being inside of you completely from the inside out. But starting from the inside, in your spirit, in your heart, you are favored by God. There's goodness all over you. We sang about that. And there's evidence in our lives as believers when we reflect and think. And as we were singing, I was reflecting of all the evidences of God's goodness in my life. I'm sure you were too, or at least some of you were, thinking about that and how that evidence is so concrete. It's so real. It's enduring. And it's repeated over and over in our lives in even new and fresh ways. But the question becomes, who is blessed? Who is blessed? Who is the one who is blessed in this psalm? In fact, who is the one who's blessed in Scripture? Who is the one who's blessed in this life? And the Bible tells us in this psalm very, very clearly, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Not themselves. Not someone else, not a physical building, but God himself and his ways. Their strength in God, whose strength is in God. Those whose strength is in God and all their strength is in God and comes from God. Now listen, this is really important because when you read this psalm, what the psalmist writes, blessed are those whose strength is in you. This is a strong implication. It implies here, and it's saying really that the opposite is also true. What would be the opposite? Those who have as their strength someone or something else outside of or besides God, the Lord, are not ultimately blessed. Oh, they might get along for a while. They might feel good. They might have certain emotions. They might have certain characteristics that they think in this life or experiences that will make them feel like they're okay and they're blessed, and they very well may be because of the amazing grace of God that covers them as well generally. But they're not ultimately blessed. They're still lacking in peace. They're lacking in joy. They're lacking in that completeness inside of them. They're fearful. They're anxious. They're like all the time. And they don't know what the future holds. Who is blessed? Those whose strength is in God. Listen, strength is definitely required to live the Christian life. Amen? Not an easy journey, not an easy walk. Discipleship and following Jesus, being a follower of Christ, is hard. However, it's not that that strength comes through self-exertion. Oh, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. You know, the little engine that could. We do that a lot of times, and we muster up the energy. We try to get the willpower. We get the emotions involved, and we even get it physically. We get involved, and we sweat, and we lose sleep and all kinds of things. And if we just try harder, we're going to make it. We're going to succeed. But the power, this is talking about the power and this strength that comes from yielding to God, submitting to Him, who strengthens those who acknowledge their weakness and their dependence on Him. That's it. How blessed are those? Blessed are those whose strength is in God. They are blessed. If we don't rely on God to live the Christian life, to live this life, we may be doing more harm than good, and we most certainly will become discouraged, won't we? Or even burned out. Have you been there? We've experienced that. I've experienced that. We've been there. Our part as Christians, as followers of Christ, those who are on this pilgrimage that we're going to a better place, is to submit and obey. And His part, God's part, is to empower and sanctify us. Amen? You can't do that. God can. The problem with relying on our own strength to live the Christian life is that we are weak. Well, let me make it personal. Let me backtrack. I'll talk about myself. I can't speak for you. The problem with relying on my own strength is to live the Christian life is that I am weak. I'm limited. I'm frail, finite, fragile, and I sin. Also, whatever strength that I have can be taken away from me at any given moment. And I can be so easily led astray. I love what the psalmist said in the New Living Translation. Paraphrases it this way in Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and shield. We actually sang about the shield too. I trust Him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. That's blessing. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. When's the last time you did that? I love this psalm as well when we talk about our strength and where our strength comes from. Psalm 138:3 says this, again, the New Living Translation. As soon as I pray, You answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. It's God's Word. It's a reliance on God, whose strength comes from the Lord. Those people are blessed. Who is blessed? Those whose strength is in the Lord and whose hearts are on the highways of Zion. What does that mean? In other words, this is what it means. Their heart is set on this pilgrimage through life to our eternal home. It's the heavenly Zion, if you will. It's the New Jerusalem one day. Hallelujah. That's where we're going. We're aliens, we're strangers, we're foreigners, we're just passing through. We're not supposed to settle down. We're not going to be here forever. So all that energy, all that time, all that effort you're putting into to settle down, to invest all your money in that house that's going to fall down one day anyway. Well, I don't mean to be prophetic, but it's just the truth. Even in 1,000 years, it won't be around. Don't invest your time and energy in that. It's not going to last forever. It is blessed. It is so blessed. It's such a blessing to not have your heart set on what earth has to offer. I'll say it again. I'm still learning this. But it's such a blessing, and you're blessed to not have your heart set on what earth has to offer. You won't be, you know why? Because you won't be let down by things that break down or fall apart or just fail. As you know, planned obsolescence is the order of the day. Right, Phil? If it was made in the past 10 years, especially your dishwasher or your washing machine, get ready. It's about to conk out. It is. That's how it works. And yet, we are told that we are not to set our heart on those things. We know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, you know, because moth and rust, well, it'll all go away. It's going to break down. It's going to corrode. It's going to break down. But instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where those things can't touch those treasures, and they'll last forever, and you're looking forward to them, and you'll be in that eternal home with God one day forever. What do you have your heart on? Listen, have your heart on God's law. Have your heart on God's ways, not on things. One of the things and challenges that the Israelites had when they were on their, I'll call it a pilgrimage, it was, when they had left Egypt and they were freed from slavery to Egypt. By the way, a picture of all salvation in Christ and our freedom from sin and the law of sin. And they're just about to get into the promised land, and Moses can't go in because of his disobedience. And Joshua is about to lead them there. And God gives Joshua words in chapter 1 of Joshua. And we know these verses very well, most of us, right? In Joshua chapter 1 and verses 7 to 9. I'm going to read it so that I don't misquote them. From the New American Standard. It says here, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." You will be blessed. In Deuteronomy, earlier, prior, the book before Joshua, Moses outlines the law and he writes and he declares that there is blessings and curses, right? When you do things your way, and if you're distracted by those things in the promised land, like temporary things, you're not going to succeed. You're going to struggle. You're going to be spinning your wheels. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be disappointed. But he says here instead, set your mind on God's word. Set your mind on things that last. God himself. Amen? This is not your home. You're passing through, and along the way, you are strengthened as you focus on God's presence and you trust his guidance as you see his hand providing all you need to arrive at your heavenly destination. Amen? Where your strength there will never run out and things won't break down. In fact, you won't need washing machines and things like that that break down. Don't settle for anything this life has to offer along the way until you are satisfied with God's presence face to face one day. Hebrews chapter 11 is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. It talks about that faith hall of fame. It talks about all those who've gone before us and their faith that they had in God. Their faith was such that they saw themselves as people who were just passing through. And it says there in the middle of the chapter there that they were looking for this heavenly home. They were looking for a new country that they didn't see. They didn't even fully comprehend. And they didn't call the country that they were from that they left anything. They left it as if it was, who cares? I don't mean that, like, I don't want to be flippant about that. But they didn't care. They knew where God was calling them. They were looking towards that destination, that heavenly city, that home, that heavenly country, it says in Hebrews chapter 11. They did not settle for anything this life had to offer. They were looking ahead. Is your heart set on eternity? Or are you just going to live your entire life in your own strength, Without your heart set on that pilgrimage that you know the destination is still there, or is your destination right here and you're investing everything into it, all your energy, strength, and finances? Colossians 3, the Apostle Paul says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is strengthening, right? And that comes with a blessing. Whatever comes on the way as we're going there is temporary. It's all temporary, including even bumps in the road. Verse 6 says, as they go through the valley of Baca, talk about bumps along the way. You will go through valleys. Last week, Pastor Dave was talking about the difficulties we'll have to test our faith. But you will go through valleys, and you'll be asking questions like this. Man, where's the water? It's so dry here. It's a desert. There's not enough light. I can't even see my hand in front of me. I'm so deep in this valley that I can't, it's dark. I mean, where's the light? Where am I supposed to go? Does God even see me? I feel like I'm so low. This valley is low and long. And does God even know I'm here? Is he even real because of all that I'm going through? And you might even be saying, I'm not going to make it. The Valley of Baca is significant because its meaning is simply this. It means it's the Valley of Weeping or the Valley of Tears. And there are some different understandings and applications of that with some of the history involved. And it probably is a real place. And you might be saying when you're there, symbolically, but also in your own life, figuratively, spiritually, and you're saying, where's the help? I had strength. I'm on this pilgrimage. I'm ready to go. And I've been raising my kids as a mother, and it's not working out the way I thought it was. They're not listening to me. They're doing their own thing. Nobody hears me. People are ignoring me. They don't understand me. And on and on and on and on. We're going to have valleys of weeping and tears. Some are short. Some are long. And yet, it says that those whose strength comes from the Lord, who are eternally focused, looking and thinking of the destination at the end, it says here that as they go through the Valley of Baca, what? They make it a place of springs. Because of their faith and focus on God, the Lord makes it a spring? No. Doesn't say that. It does not say that. Is he part of the process? Is he there? Yes, he is. But you know what this says? These pilgrims don't whine or wait around for circumstances to change. They take their pain and they make something good out of it. Something that not only meets their own needs, but that blesses others as well. I want to be that kind of pilgrim. I want to be that kind of pilgrim. I don't want my circumstances, my frustrations, my griefs to shrivel me up into a bitter person. I want my life, no matter how hard, to glorify God and to bless others. That's perspective change and attitude change. I want to find joy too. I want to make my valley of weeping into a place of cold, refreshing springs that give life and joy to myself, my family, and to those around me. The early rain also covers it with pools, the Bible says here in this verse. When these pilgrims, and when they're going on this road toward their destination, drawing their strength from God, when they have this attitude of determination to be the change rather than to be changed by the circumstances, then refreshing also comes from other sources. pools is plural. More than one. They didn't bring the autumn rains. They have no control over the rain. That's where God comes in. Hallelujah. But you know what? In the process, they were waiting, and maybe they were digging. There was dry. They were praying. They were seeking God, and they're digging, and they're trying to get to a water source to have sustenance and strength, and they can't get to it. And they're crying, and they're out of energy, and they're out of strength, and they keep digging, and the nails are wearing off, and they're getting down to their bone, and they're before God. And all of a sudden, the rain comes. And because they were digging, there's a hole that can be filled. There's a hole that can be filled. Do you dig or do you stop digging and say, oh, this is impossible. This is so bad. I can't believe it. And try to take, just seek God. And you dig holes. And maybe you'll be in different places all in that valley. And you'll make multiple holes and different kinds of prayers and different durations of prayers. And you know what? The rain comes in God's times. You can go back and you draw and you drink and you're filled and you're re-strengthened and you're re-energized and you can refocus and get up and keep walking through that dark, cold, maybe even lonely valley. Dig while you wait. The rain can clothe us with blessings too, you know. Amen. Remember that you might be in a valley of tears as a mother this morning, as a father, as wherever you are, whatever you're doing in life, as just a human being, a person created in the image of God. You could be in this valley of tears. You can have tears in that valley. You might even have fears, and you might even have jeers from oppressive scoffers. We've been reading about those oppressive enemies of the psalmist in Psalm 119 in our study. And they're scoffing and they're making fun of your eternal focus and your trust in God for strength. You're just trusting God? How come you're not going to X, Y, and Z? How come you're not talking to this? They'll give you a med. They'll give you this product. They'll help you with this. They'll give you this book to read. If you see this person, if you do this, go to this method. And nothing works. Because you're not drawing from God. Yeah. Mount Zion is ahead. Revelation 21 tells us so. We're going there. It's a new Zion, a new Jerusalem. We're going there in the end. Heaven is waiting. Keep on that journey. Refreshing pools are coming. And you will be rejuvenated for the journey. If you draw your strength from the Lord, look to eternity, and you keep digging through prayer and the seeking of His Word. And lock arms with others to do it as well. Verse 7. What happens then? It says they go from strength to strength. That's like an increase, right? Or renewed strength. You lost it and you got it back. Or it could be even more. And faith is like that. It's like that muscle. It's that trust that we keep trusting God. We go through one thing and it becomes, we can go through more. We can have more stamina. I'm not talking physically. We're talking spiritually, our heart. And our ability to continue on and to press on with God's strength, not our own. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. One step at a time. One victory at a time. One day at a time. You get stronger as you go along. Again, maybe not physically, but spiritually, in your character, in your emotions, in your mind, in your relationships. Even if they feel like they're falling apart, God is still working behind the scenes. The psalm tells us each one appears before God. Does it say a handful of them appear before God? No, it says each one of them, all of them, appear before God. Because those are the ones who are blessed. They trust in the Lord for their strength. They're thinking of eternity, right? And then they're not just waiting and wallowing in their weeping. They're weeping with a purpose, and they're seeking God, and they're digging, and they're digging these holes, and the Spirit and God comes, and he rains on us, and he fills these pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one who started on that pilgrimage and kept on gets there. What is the ultimate destination or fulfillment of this pilgrimage, this journey? Till each appears before God in Zion. The goal of our journey, it's not about being in heaven. It's about being in union with God Himself. Oh, but I can't wait. The streets are gold and I'm going to see this and all the gemstones and the light and everyone's going to be... We have these imaginations of what it's going to be like, even if we don't know for sure. And that's okay. Because it's beyond our imagination. We have some descriptions of it. But it's more than that. It's that we will be in union with God, our Creator. We will be with Him forever and ever and ever. And even there, even though they're there for our enjoyment and pleasure, just like a lot of things are here, it's really about being in perfect union with God forever and ever and ever, which is full circle to the whole point of this psalm of wanting to be in and desiring God's presence, because that's how He created Adam and Eve until their strength was not in the Lord. Where is your strength coming from? Where are your eyes looking? Because as a pilgrim, mothers, children, fathers, all of us, no matter how many struggles we go through and have to go through, at the end, when we reach the end of those struggles, there will be the welcoming arms of Jesus in that heavenly Zion. And I think the desire of every pilgrim is to hear this: well done, good and faithful servant. Well done doesn't mean that there's no pain or grief or weeping. It doesn't mean that there weren't struggles. It doesn't mean that we were victors over every single temptation or that we never even questioned God. What it does mean is that we kept our focus on the destination, never allowing our trials to take our eyes off of Jesus, never turning our hearts away from God. It means plugging in, no matter how tired or discouraged we are. And it means allowing God's blessings to flow through us to others, even when we are weary. You and I can't get there on our own. This morning, mothers, ladies, you can't be the perfect wife, perfect mother. You can't be the perfect friend or the perfect minister to those in need. You can't maintain a spiritual fervor every moment of every day without distractions or pitfalls, can you? You can't understand everything God does or doesn't do. You can't understand every prayer that goes unanswered or every grief that's allowed in your life. But you and I, we can fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And then we can consider Him who endured so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. So whatever situation you're in, go from strength to strength until you appear before God in Zion. Amen? That's it. Before we pray, I'm going to invite, and again, I'm so grateful to see all the mothers here, and we're so grateful to see Brianna, too, for the first time in service. Hallelujah, worshiping with us. She's worshiping God with a nap. Love it. I do want to just say that if you're here and you're a mother, and you've not placed your faith and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you relied on your own strength your entire life, or maybe you did rely on God for your strength, but then something happened along life's journey, and you, I can do it myself. I don't need that. I want to encourage you and just say that today is the day to God just might be calling you back. And he's saying, place your faith and trust in me. I took care of your sins. You can't take care of them. And the only way that you can live forever and get to that destination with my help, knowing that it's prepared for you already, is by believing on Jesus, God's Son. Because the Bible says that if you believe on him, you will be saved. Then everything changes. The journey's different. The focus is different. Your strength is different. Your source of strength is better. And you will get there. So I encourage you to do that. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the gift of mothers, Lord God, and that incredible role. It's indescribable. It's invaluable. It's just, when I think of my own mom, and I know we can think of our mothers, God, that they play in our own lives, and we thank you for them. Father God, I ask you to bless every mother here with the strength that they need, God. Guide them, Lord, to be examples, to be diligent, to be faithful, even as you are faithful and you've displayed your faithfulness all our lives and all their lives. Father, I thank you that you will give them that guidance and wisdom for every challenge every day, and that you will carry them through the valley of weeping, where their strength will be renewed because they trust in you. Fill them with your peace and joy, God, and help us to let them know how much we love and support them. We ask this in Jesus' name. And now I just pray over you mothers. I want to pray the blessing in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. We love you. Happy Mother's Day. Enjoy it. Be blessed. And children, bless your mothers. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.